السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We discussed last the conquest of Umm Banin. So now we're moving on to the castle of Babylon. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu took his army now to the castle of Babylon, and he laid a siege to it which lasted 7 months. So during this period, Makokis, he sent envoys to negotiate with Amr radiallahu anhu. So Amr radiallahu anhu gave him the two choices, that either you'll accept Islam, you don't want to accept Islam, then you pay the jizya, you live under Muslim rule. So, although Makokis was the king here of Egypt, but they now ruling under the Roman emperor. So he has to get permission from the Roman emperor to accept this. So he writes a letter to Herakl. So Herakl was very upset with him. There was no resolve, but you just want to, you know, give up and give in. So then he sent for him. He summoned Makokis. When Makokis went to him, so he stripped him of his kingship and he sent him into exile. So, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, remember he was part of the four people that Umar al-Nawm sent. So, when the siege was now dragging on, so one day he announced, he said, I present my life to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, that now, do or die now. And I hope that Allah Ta'ala will grant victory through my actions. So that night, what he did was, he fixed a ladder on a wall that was close to their public baths. And other Muslims also joined him, they scaled the wall. But he was the first person, Zubair bin Awam al-Nawm was the first person to drop on the other side of the wall. So when they went on the other side, they started screaming takbir. Now, some Muslims were still on top, some are outside, some have gone in, and they're all screaming takbir. Now this takbir was repeated, right? Repeated, and it's resonating now, deafening effect. The Romans, they thought that the whole Muslim army is inside the fort. So they started running for cover. They didn't think they can put up a fight. They just one small group of people here. They started running for cover. In the meantime, Zubair radiallahu anhu and the few that had gone in, they ran for the gate. They opened the gates of the fort, which now allowed for the Muslim army to penetrate the fort. So Muslims conquered the city. Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu, he followed a policy of peace. Right? He didn't, wasn't hard with these people. He allowed the Roman army, he allowed them to evacuate, right, to go, and he told them that you can even take food supplies for a few days. Carry some food supplies with you for a few days. But you have to leave the castle and you have to leave all the balance of the supplies and any war equipment, this must be left behind. And he let them go. So as was his habit, after that they destroyed the defenses of the city, and the city now cannot become a stronghold for the Roman army. Right? They destroyed the towers and the walls to deny a sanctuary to the enemy. So this is how Babylon came into Muslim hands. The next big place was the conquest of Alexandria. So Amr radiallahu anhu, before proceeding to Alexandria, he remained here for a few months in Babylon to give the army some time to recuperate. I mean, they've been moving now for so many months, laying siege to places, difficult times. So he allowed them to recuperate for a while, and also he was waiting for permission from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu whether they should march on to Alexandria or not. So when the instructions came that he must move towards Alexandria, so he stationed a contingent of his army at Babylon, and the rest of the army moved towards their next target in Jamadul Ukhra, 21 Hijri. Now when they moved towards Alexandria, then a group now of the Copts, you know, they are very upset with the Romans now. The Romans have stripped their king also. So they now joined the Muslim army. They basically formed an alliance with the Muslim army. So they know the road, they know, they made it much easier now for the Muslim army to move. They also, on the way, you know, now you're going through a lot of wetlands now, the tributaries of the Nile, etc. And they were masters at making bridges, and so they used to this kind of terrain, right? So it made it very easy for the Muslim army. They came across a tributary that was too deep to cross. These people would build a bridge, construct it quickly, and the army can continue moving. Amr radiallahu anhu, however, for most part of the journey, he chose not to use the route of the Nile. Although there was advantages if you use the route of the Nile, because nobody can attack you from one side. The river is there. So you only have to worry about the other side. But he chose to rather go through the desert, because he felt it was more important for his cavalry to have ample space to maneuver. Should there be an attack, you must be able to move. If they're here by the river, now your movement is restricted. However, he didn't meet any significant resistance. One, two small skirmishes here and there, but nothing serious. They then crossed the river to come to the eastern shore now, and they came to a fortress that is called the Fortress of Nicias. So this was a formidable fortress. So Amr Ranan felt that no, this should be conquered. We can't leave it like this. The Romans, instead of besieging themselves inside the fort, they came out and they boarded their ships. Right? And they wanted to stop the Muslims from closing in on their fort. So instead of just staying put in their fort, they came out now. They said, no, they will come and meet the Muslim army. But they came in their ships. So the Muslims used their artillery. That time, whatever they had, catapults, arrows, whatever, rocks, whatever they were using, darts. And these people lost heart, and they sailed down. They continued downstream. Now downstream is going towards Alexandria. So they went in that direction towards Alexandria. Shortly afterwards, the few Romans that were left in that fort, they surrendered, and the Muslims entered the fort as victors. So Amr radiallahu anhu spent a few days in this fort, disposing of the enemy around, just securing the place properly. And he sent his commander Shariq bin Sumai to chase the fleeting Romans. However, when he caught up with them, he found that they are quite a formidable force. He just had a small group of Mujahideen with him, but these people were quite a formidable force. So the Romans also, when they realized that he is such a small force, so they surrounded him. They thought that they'll fight him now, they surrounded him. So the Muslims sought refuge on a raised ground, which later on it was given the name Shariq's Mound. So the Muslims took refuge there. The commander sent a message to Amr radiallahu anhu, this is our situation, send us some reinforcements. So as soon as the Romans got wind that a message is gone for reinforcements, no fighting took place, they took flight once again. This was the robe. So they're hearing how the Muslims, how many victories Allah Pak is giving them, rather don't take a chance, rather just keep moving. Then a place that is called Demanhir says in the south, a day's travel on horseback from Alexandria, 6 miles from a place called Sultais. This was the site of the next engagement between Amr radiallahu an and the Romans. And here also Allah Ta'ala granted the Muslims victory. When it comes to the conquest of Egypt, not much is mentioned. You know, like those of you that read this Kitab Futuh al-Sham, Conquest of Sham, then the part two is to do with the conquest of Egypt. But unlike the conquest of Sham, a lot of detail is written. The conquest of Egypt, there's not much. Although sometimes these battles were for weeks. Very, very difficult battles. But for some reason, there's not much mentioned about them in our history kitabs. You just get like, okay, the Muslims are victorious here, victorious there. But they don't go into the details of the battle itself. At the time of the Muslim conquest of Alexandria, before we go there, just before that, one of the battles that was a major battle also was the Battle of Theon, I think it is pronounced Theon. So this was the last string of fortresses stretching from Babylon to Alexandria. Before they reached Alexandria, this was the last fort. So here there was a person by the name of Theodore. Theodore, he was the chief of the Roman army. And he was present inside this fortress. So we know now with him would be a huge army. So a big battle ensued here for a couple of weeks. He was fighting for a couple of weeks. But not much is mentioned on the details, how the battle started, what happened, etc. Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu an was at the vanguard. And a person by the name of Firdan, who was a freed slave of his father, was carrying the banner. Amr radiallahu an on that day made Salatul Khawf. They read Salatul Khawf, they read on that day. Salatul Khawf is when the whole army doesn't read namaz one time. You got one imam, half the army will read, they'll go to fight, the other half army will come, they'll read namaz, then they will go to fight, and this army will come. There's different methods that have been mentioned in the different mazahib. What's the preferred method of reading Salatul Khawf? Just briefly, the whole army doesn't read namaz one time. So that will only happen when there's like, one is that everybody wants to read behind the same imam. If it's not like the situation in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then you can just make different jamaats. Everybody can read their namaz full one time. But in a situation where now everybody wants to read namaz behind that amir, right? So now the one half of the army will come, they will read one rakat, then they will go and face the enemy. other half the army will come, they'll read one rakat, the imam will finish his namaz, this army will complete their namaz, then they will go and face the enemy, that army will come and complete the rakat that they still have to complete. Jee. So they read Salatul Khawf, and Allah Ta'ala granted the Muslims victory. Muslims killed a great number of the enemy and chased the rest until now they reached Alexandria. These people also were fleeing towards Alexandria. So at the time, this Alexandria was you know, like a metropole, right? It was the financial hub of the Roman Empire, Alexandria. In fact, it is mentioned that after Constantinople, this was the major hub of the Roman Empire. And when they reached here, the Caesar himself mentioned that if the Muslims have to conquer Alexandria, then we are history. Then we finish. There's no question of us after that if the Muslims have to conquer Alexandria. This is the end of our kingdom. So some historians claim that before this battle took place, the Caesar himself, he wanted to come and be present there. But Allah willed that he must die before that. Now if he had come, you see, kuffar, their gaze is on asbab. If the Caesar had to come, it would have boosted their morale. But Allah Ta'ala didn't allow that for them. He died before that. Now, after he died, another thing that worked in favor of the Muslims was that the Byzantine Empire now was beset with a lot of problems after he died. You know, one side the whole empire is being crushed. Now the king also died. So Constantine III ascended the throne, but as a co-emperor, they were sharing the throne now, him and his half-brother. Right? So, the half-brother's mother, her name was Martina. So, she was also now with her son, like in a rulership position. Right? Now this was Heracles' second wife, this Martina. So this Heraclonus was his name, was her son, right? And Constantine the Third and him, they are half brothers now. Right? They consanguine brothers. They share the same father but different mothers. So they say about 100 days. After Heracles died, Caesar, this Constantine the Third also died. So when he died, now everybody started pointing fingers at this Martina. They said, no, she poisoned him because she wanted her son to be the king. Right? So this led now to another whole, you know, confusion in the Byzantine Empire. Right? So a revolt occurred, and in the end, what happened was, Constans now was the son of Constantine the Third. So he was now installed as co-emperor with his uncle, that Heraclonus, Heracles' son, Martina's son. So Alexandria, besides having a strong built-up defense, well-equipped garrison of soldiers, it was protected from the north by the Mediterranean Sea, which was controlled by the Romans. From the south, there was a lake, Lake Mariette. Now, this lake also was like impossible to cross. Can't cross this lake. It used to be one of the tributaries of the Nile, but it then surrounded the city of Alexandria on the south and the west. And this is why it was given the name Serpent's Bend, because it made formed like a bend around Alexandria. So the only access that remained available to the city was from the east. You had to enter from the east, which connected Alexandria to Trion. Now this siege dragged on for many months. Amr radiallahu anhu started fearing that his troops are now going to be exhausted, demoralized, vulnerable. So he was sending detachments just to keep them active, little detachments to go penetrate the cities and the villages in the delta and the highlands. However, the prolongation of the siege now made Umar radiallahu anhu upset. How long this thing is taking? So Umar radiallahu anhu started having doubts in his mind that the will of the army to sacrifice their lives has been lost. So he wrote a letter to Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu. Now imagine what calm they're doing, right? What calm they're doing. Now listen to the language and the tone in this letter. Umar Ranan is writing to him. He says, I am shocked at your slot in conquering Egypt. In other words, your laziness, you know, to conquer this Egypt now. He said, you have been fighting them for 2 years. This is the result of the army becoming detached from deen and inventing alternatives to the guidance of Islam, and because you all have become attached to the same worldly things as your enemy. Allah the Almighty does not help a people except if they have sincere intentions. Indeed, I sent you 4 people that I told you are worth 1,000 men in my eyes, except if their condition too has been changed by what has changed the others. Now, today's zamana, forget an amir of a huge army, the sheikh must just write to the murid like this. The murid will write back one thesis explaining his situation and why you're misunderstanding what I'm doing. Or he'll get so upset. Ustad must just tell a student, forget that, a parent must tell a child. The parent must reprimand his own son. And finish. He's pulled up, balloon face, lemon face, not coming to eat supper. This is how we have become. Why? This pride has come too much. Ujub has come too much. Right? No fear of Allah Ta'ala. No respect of hierarchy. This is the Amir al-Mu'mineen talking. Right? So he's talking with that authority. And he's reprimanding Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu and the army. Right? So then he writes in letter, he said, when you receive this letter of mine, address the men. Encourage them to fight the enemy. Encourage them to make sabr and tell them to purify their niyat. Let these 4 men be at the forefront. The 4 sahaba that he sent, said, let them be at the forefront and ask the army to attack as a single man. The attack, to what detail is giving instruction, right? He says this attack must be at midday on a Jumu'ah after Zawal. Because that is the time when Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends on the earth and du'as are answered. Let the people cry out to their Rabb and ask for help against their enemy. When Amr radiallahu anhu received this letter, there's no story about now, what he thinks now, what we're doing, nothing. My duty is to follow instructions. When he received the letter, he gathered the troops, he read it out to them. Then he called for the 4 men. The four Sahaba told them to come forward. He told the troops, make tawbah, make istighfar, purify yourselves. Right? And read two rakat salah, turn to Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala for help. It has also been narrated that Amr radiallahu anh called Maslama bin Mukhallad Ansari radiallahu anh. And he said to him, advise me how to fight these people. He was one of the four that Umar Radnan had sent. Advise me how to fight these people. So Maslama radiallahu anh said to him, I think you should seek out a knowledgeable and experienced person from amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Appoint him the commander and let him manage the attack alone. So Amr Radnan asked him, and who is that person? He said, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu. Called Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu. So Amr bin al-As Radnan called him and he told him to dismount. Dismount from your horse and give me your spear. Amr radiallahu anhu then took off his amama. And he tied it to the arrowhead of Ubadah bin Samit Radnanu's spear. And he gave it back to him and he appointed him the commander of this battle now. You are going to command this battle. Right? Allah Ta'ala granted the Muslims victory that same day. The same day. In another narrative, it is mentioned that Amr bin al-As radiallahu anh said, I thought about this matter and I came to the conclusion that the affairs of this ummah can only be set right in these days by someone who set it right in the beginning. By this, he was referring to the Ansar, that somebody from the Ansar must now be appointed as the commander. So then he called for Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh, and Allah Ta'ala gave victory at his hands. It is mentioned that the siege continued for 9 months. Before that, 9 months the siege continued. Alexandria was conquered in the beginning of the first month of the year 20 Hijri. Now you will get differences of opinion. So Amr radiallahu anh, again here in Alexandria, he spared the people, he didn't kill them, he didn't make them captives. Now all this, why did, in every other place, they made the people prisoners of war. They enslaved them. Why in Egypt they're not doing this? It's because of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got a family tie there. So, go easy with the people of Egypt. So this is why they were very lenient, even after being victorious, they were very lenient with the people of Misr. So he didn't kill anybody, he didn't take captives, instead he let them pay the jizya in lieu of freedom and security. Then he stationed a garrison at the city, after pacifying it, and he spread the rest of his brigades with missions to overrun the remaining Roman forts and mop up the pockets of resistance in Egypt. Hence, Amr radiallahu anh completed the conquest of the Mediterranean coast and its chief city, Rushaid, Demetia, etc. And similarly, he spread his control over the delta and the highlands of Egypt. But there's no time to relax. The word of Allah Ta'ala has to spread. So after all of this now he moved to secure the newly conquered of Egypt from the western frontier. So there were Roman garrisons now in a place called Barqa. It was a province in Libya and Tripoli in that direction. So this posed a potent threat to the Muslims. If they were left, then this was a threat to the Muslims. Along the road between Alexandria and Barca, he did not face any resistance. Upon reaching Barca, he made a truce with its inhabitants on the condition that they pay jizya. The people of Barca used to send their tribute to the Muslim governor of Egypt without delay. Now, this region was the most fertile land in the western frontiers of the Muslim state, and there was no mischief here. No, it was a farming community, no mischief taking place here. After this, Amr radiallahu anhu moved his army towards Tripoli. The Romans had built formidable fortresses with a sizable enemy garrison. The Romans shut down the gates of the city, and the ensuing siege continued for a month, during which time the Muslims gained no ground. The Mediterranean bordered the city from one side, lapping up on the doors of its houses on the beach. There were no walls between the city and the sea. The Muslims recognized this as a vulnerable spot, and they sneaked a battalion towards the city from the side of the ocean. The Romans did not find any shelter except in their ships. As Amr radiallahu anhu stormed the city from the land, this commandos mujahideen came from the side of the ocean, and Amr round stormed from the land. A lot of booty was gained from this city. Amr radiallahu anhu now sent his forces in different directions from the city to nearby targets. He wanted to proceed to Tunis and other parts of Africa, and he sought permission from Umar radiallahu anhu. However, Umar radiallahu anhu was wary that letting his forces penetrate through a fresh frontier after a quick string of victories from the Levant to Tripoli would expose them to undue danger. So he told them to stop at Tripoli, conquer up to Tripoli and stop there. Hence, the Muslim state during the reign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu covered a huge portion of the globe, whose boundaries were defined by the rivers Oxus and the Indus in the east, West Africa and its desert in the west, mountain range of Asia Minor and Armenia in the north, and the Nubian state and Pacific Ocean in the south. This was a single contiguous state containing various peoples, religions, customs. It wasn't different countries. It's one state, an Islamic state, a Muslim state. Every country that came under the Muslim rule is included in this huge state. It's not now you this country, you that country. This is the system of the kuffar, divide and rule, divide and rule. So they included it, one huge state. Its inhabitants lived under the justice and mercy of Islam, a religion which safeguarded their rights in a noble life despite differing with them in beliefs and customs. Although they were non-Muslims, people of various colors, languages, all different, what you call cosmopolitan societies. But they all lived with justice. Everybody was treated with justice and the mercy of Islam. And that became the catalyst for so many of them accepting Islam. When they saw the beauty of Islam, they accepted Islam. We'll stop there. So he's given an overview, but now he takes few incidents, interesting incidents that took place, and elaborates on it a little bit more.